The first book in the New Testament, the first book in all the Bible is the book of Genesis, but I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And like I said before, what a warm church, and I want to say something to all of you, not just our visitors, but Pastor Johnston, he has a big heart, and he is so glad that you're here. And you visitors, thank you for coming, and you've made our day. And all of you faithful folks here from Gospel Light Baptist Church, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for praying for this day. And we're going to have a wonderful day this morning. Then, of course, this afternoon we'll be enjoying the food. Plus, we have a lot of games out there, a lot of things planned. If you like to do that kind of thing, then we're going to look forward to that. But thank you for coming. Thank you for inviting me. I want to thank Pastor Johnston. I want to thank his wife. I thank Gospel Light Baptist Church for inviting me. Now, I pastor the Grace Baptist Church in near Chicago, Illinois. How many of you have heard of Chicago? Raise your hand. Okay, hopefully it's good things and not bad things. But anyways, thank you so much for coming. Yeah, how many have your Bibles open to the book of Matthew? Chapter 27. Now, if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Just listen and look up here. Matthew chapter 27. And I want to share my heart with you this morning. Once again, thank you so much for being here. And now this is the most important part of the service right here. We've had some singing. We've had the choir sing. We've had some fellowship, congregational singing, but now the most important part, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 27, and we'll begin with verse number 11. Matthew 27, verse 11. It says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." I want to speak to you for just a few minutes. Please give me your undivided attention. And if you'd look up here, and I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Heavenly Father, thank you for those that have come this morning. Thank you for the visitors. And Lord, I pray now that you would speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, may you have your will and your way in all of us today. We pray, Father, that if there is one this morning that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that this morning will be the day, be the time that they will open their heart and ask Jesus to come in and forgive them of all their sins. I pray, Father, you'll speak to us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus Christ is put on trial. He has already been falsely accused by the Jewish rulers and religious leaders. And because they were under the authority of Rome, only Rome could enact the death penalty. So they brought Jesus to the Roman governor by the name of Pontius Pilate. And after hearing witnesses and questioning Jesus, Pilate said that he found no fault in him and wanted to let him go. And it was custom for every single Passover that the governor would release one prisoner, one Jewish prisoner. And so he said to the people, "Whom do you want me to release? Do you want me to release Barabbas, who was a murderer and a thief? Or do you want me to release Jesus?" And the people cried out, "Barabbas! Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Release unto us Barabbas!" And he did. He released Barabbas. And then the Bible says that the multitude cried out, "Let his blood be on us and all of our children." And then they took Jesus and they beat him. And they put a crown of thorns on his head. And then they put a robe on him, and they mocked him, and they laughed at him, and they ridiculed him. And then they took Jesus, and he took a cross, and he carried it all part way up the hill. And he couldn't carry it anymore. It was so heavy. And then they got another person to come and pick up the cross. And when Jesus got to the top of that hill, they laid him on that wooden cross, and they took spikes, and they pounded those spikes into his hands and into his feet. And they lifted him up, that cross, and they pulled it up. And they crucified Jesus. And beside him was one thief on his right side, another thief on his left side. But I want you to notice this morning what Pilate the governor said. He said this, he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And I want to ask you this morning, what will you do with Jesus Christ? What have you done with Jesus Christ? I want to ask you three simple questions tonight. Just three. Three simple questions. And the first one is this. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus just an historical person? Was he just a man? Was he just a carpenter? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus an historical figure and nothing more? Was he just a Jewish leader and a teacher? Who is Jesus? Is he a made-up person or a figure of someone's imagination? Who is Jesus? The Bible says that there was a man named Saul of Tarsus, who later, his name was changed to Paul. When Paul was on his way to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verse 5, he asked that question. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Let me ask you this morning, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? A few years ago, on the cover of the magazine U.S. News and World Report, there was an artist's depiction of Jesus. They had some artists had painted or put a picture of what they thought Jesus looked like on that magazine cover. And here's what the caption said. The title said, "Who is Jesus?" A 1994 issue of Life magazine had on the cover, "Jesus, who was he?" It has been estimated that about 30 billion people have lived on planet Earth. That's a lot of people, isn't it? 30 billion people, it's estimated, that have lived on this planet since it began. And out of those 30, of those billions of people, only a handful have risen to such prominence that they have impacted all of human history. Among that handful of people, only one name stands above all the rest. And His name is Jesus Christ. No other person has ever attracted such attention, devotion, criticism, adoration, and opposition than Jesus Christ. He is the focal point of all theological, philosophical, and historical discussion. He lived in the flesh about 2,000 years ago in Israel. Yet for centuries, His birthday has divided history between B.C. and A.D. Jesus has impacted this world like no other person. Millions of books have been written about Him. Millions of sermons have been preached about Him. Millions of people have been changed by Him. To explain Him is impossible. To ignore Him is disastrous. To refuse Him is fatal. My speech is too limited to describe Him. My human mind is too finite to comprehend Him. And my heart is too small to contain all the love that He has for us. To know the answer, who is Jesus, we must look at the Bible. And we find in Philippians chapter 2. You can go there if you'd like. If not, just listen. But the Bible says and describes who Jesus is. It tells us all about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 6 through 11. A few years ago, on national television, there was a man named Bryant Gumbel. And he asked another famous man named Larry King. He asked him in an interview if he could ask God one question, what would that question be? And you know what he said? He said, I would ask Him if He had a son. Do you have a son? I want to say this morning, I can answer that question. Amen? God the Father does have a son. And He's His only son. He's the begotten son. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, He is the Son of God. First of all, we see in Philippians 2, verse 7, it says, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I want to say, first of all, that Jesus is the supernatural Son of God. His birth was supernatural. Think about that. He's the only person in history that was born of a virgin. Think about that. His mother, Mary, was a virgin, and she gave birth to Jesus Christ. His birth was supernatural. His life was supernatural. The Bible says about His birth in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So Jesus is the supernatural Son of God. Second of all, He is the sinless Son of God. In Philippians 2:8, in being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient. He was so obedient that He was sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says He knew no sin. No wonder Pilate said three times, I find no fault in Him. Can you imagine that? You know, none of us in this room are sinless. Hey, you're looking at a sinner right here, okay? I was born a sinner, and I have committed sin, and we all have. Every single person in this room is born a sinner. All of us. But there's one person that was not, totally sinless. One person that never sinned, and that is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. He is the sinless. He's the supernatural Son of God. He's the sinless Son of God. Number three, Jesus is the sovereign Son of God. In Philippians 2:6, it says, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." You see, the Bible says that Jesus, the Son, God's Son, is equal to His Father. He is God in the flesh. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." That word means Jesus. In Greek, in the Greek language, anybody know Greek here? In the Greek language, the word means logos, which describes Jesus. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Jesus is the supernatural Son of God. He's the sinless Son of God. He's the sovereign Son of God. And then Jesus is the sacrificial Son of God. In Philippians 2:8, it says He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can you imagine Jesus? Watch me now. Jesus came to earth. He left heaven. He left the glories of heaven. He left His Father. He left all of that to come down to this old earth and to humble Himself. You see, when Jesus came the first time, He didn't come to be the King of the world. He didn't come to be sovereign. He came for one reason. You know why He came? He came to be a sacrifice for your sins and my sins. That's why He came. He humbled Himself. The Lord of glory actually humbled Himself and became a servant and was willing to give His life for our sins. John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:16 by heart? And it's okay if you don't know it, but the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." He is the supernatural Son of God. He is the sinless Son of God. He is the sovereign Son of God. He's the sacrificial Son of God. And then Jesus is the surviving Son of God. I want you to notice what it says in Philippians 2 and in verse number 9. I love this. What it says here, it says in verse number 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want to say this. Yes, Jesus was crucified. Yes, Jesus was put to death. Yes, Jesus was hung on a cross. Yes, Jesus' body was put in a tomb. Did you know that? His body was placed in a borrowed tomb with a big stone to seal it. They put guards outside that tomb because they were afraid that His disciples would come and steal His body away. But guess what happened? I got some good news. Jesus didn't stay on that cross. Jesus' body didn't stay in that tomb. But the Bible says 3 days and 3 nights later, Jesus rose again from the dead. He walked out of that tomb alive. Did you know that there were over 500 witnesses to Jesus' resurrection? Over 500 people saw Him after He resurrected from the grave. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. He is alive today. In 2019, He is alive. I could tell you a lot of reasons why He's alive, but I'm going to tell you just one right now. I know He's alive because He lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. I talked to Him this morning. Now, He didn't appear to me in physical form, but you know, He can hear your prayers. Amen? He can hear you. He can walk with you and talk with you in fellowship and in your heart. And He's alive this morning. He is the surviving Son of God. Thank God for that. That's the first question. Are you still with me? What was the first question? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I think we've answered that. Who is Jesus? Here's the second question. Are you ready? What did Jesus do for me? What did Jesus do for me? The first question was, who is Jesus? Now, how about this one? What did he do for me? You ever wonder that? You ever wonder what Jesus came and but what did he do for me? What can he do for me? Ask that question to yourself. What did he do for me? My friend, I want to tell you what he did for you. He was born for you. He lived for you. He died for you. Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. He paid your sin bill. Amen. The other day, a few weeks ago, I took some guests to a restaurant. And we enjoyed our meal. We had a lovely time together. And when it came time to pay the bill, you know, when they bring you the check and it came time to pay it, and I had several people with me, and I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be a lot of money here. But I invited them, so I'm going to pay for it. And the waitress came, and I said, could we have the check, please? She said, it's already been paid for. I said, what? What do you mean it's already been paid for? She said, yeah, there's a gentleman over there in the other part of the restaurant. He paid your bill. I went, praise the Lord. Amen. That's wonderful. That was great. Somebody paid our bill. Let me tell you something. Somebody paid your bill. Somebody paid the penalty for your sin. And that was Jesus. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Oh, He washed it white as snow. He paid your penalty. Did you know the Bible says the wages of sin is death? Did you know there's two kinds of deaths? First, there's the physical death. See, we all have a body, right? This body's not going to last forever, is it? One of these days, this body will die. It'll cease to exist. I have done many, many funerals. I have conducted many funerals. Just a week ago, I conducted a funeral. A couple weeks before that, another one. And you know what? Everybody dies. Every person's body is going to die. It's going to wear out. It's going to get sick. It's going to get old. Your heart's going to stop beating. Okay? That's all of us now. That's the first death. It's a physical death. But then the Bible says there's a second death. And that's called a spiritual death. Or the second death. In other words, you see, you have a soul inside your body. Did you know that? Did you know we're not just bones and flesh and organs and muscle and tendons? That's not what you are. You're not just a body of flesh. You have a soul inside your body. I have a soul in my body. And guess what? When this old body dies, my soul's going to keep on going. Now, the Bible says that our soul is either going to go to heaven or it's going to go to a place called hell. If a person dies without Jesus as their Savior, without their sins forgiven and washed away, the Bible says they will die a physical death and a spiritual death. Guess what? I deserve to die and go to hell. I do. Why? Because I've sinned against God. But I've got good news for you. How many like to hear good news? Come on. We all like to hear good news, don't we? I've got some great news. This is the best news in the world. The good news, that's what the word gospel means, by the way. It means good news. Here's the good news. Jesus paid your penalty. He paid for your sins. You see, I deserve to pay the penalty for my sins. How would I do that? By dying and going to hell. Forever and ever and ever. But Jesus paid my penalty. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He suffered and died. That's why He who knew no sin paid for mine on that cross. He paid for your sins. So you have a choice. I have a choice. Watch me. You have a choice. Either you pay for your sins or you let Jesus pay for them. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to take care of my sins. Amen? I want Jesus to pay it all. And by the way, He did. Did you know when Jesus hung on that cross? He said this. He said three words, three very important words. As He hung there on that cross, suffering, He said, "It is finished." You know what that means? It's done. Pastor Johnson was talking about a book, giving a book away called Done. Did you know that Jesus paid it all? He's already paid for your sins. Amen. You don't have to pay for your sins if you let Jesus take care of it. You know, basically, there's two religions in the world. Now, follow me now. There is what we call the do religion. You know, D-O, do. That means you have to do this, you have to do this, and maybe you'll go to heaven. All religions teach you have to do something to earn your way to heaven. Are you listening? But there is one religion. In other words, it's really called a faith. True Christianity teaches that it has already been done. It's already done. Jesus already paid for your sins. Jesus already died and rose again. And I thank God that as a 10-year-old boy, I received Jesus as my personal Savior. Let me ask you again that question. What are you going to do with Jesus? What did He do for you? What did He do for you? I think we've answered that this morning. I love the song, Jesus Paid It All. I also love the song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. What did Jesus do for you? When I was a boy, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My parents didn't go to church. They didn't take me to church. None of my brothers and sisters went to church. We didn't know anything about the Bible. We didn't know anything about God. But I remember as a boy, I wanted to know the truth. And one day, someone asked me a question. Here's what they asked me. They said, Keith, if you were to die today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? You know what my answer was? I don't know. I hope so. I think I'll go to heaven. I think I'm good enough. You know what I used to think when I was a kid? I used to think that it was like a weight scale. You know, when you put meat on scales, you put something on a scale to weigh it, right? I used to think that if my good works were more than my bad, then I'd go to heaven. Or if my bad and I'd go to hell. But you know the Bible teaches that's not so. That's not true. Did you know there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven? Nothing we can do to work our way there. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I think so. I'd like to. Maybe. And then that person said, you know what? I'm going to show you out of the Bible how you can know 100% that you're going to heaven. And they showed me. And guess what? I opened my heart, and I asked Jesus to come in. I realized I was a sinner. I realized there was a penalty for my sin. And I realized Jesus died on the cross and paid my penalty. And I realized that if I open my heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I did. I opened my heart and asked Jesus to come in and forgive me of all my sins. First question is this. Who is Jesus? The second question is, what has He done for you? Last question. Here's the last one. Number three, last question you need to ask. What should I do with Jesus? What should I do personally, me, with Jesus? We see that as Pilate said to the crowd. He said, what should I do with this Jesus, the Christ? He asked that same question. And I ask you this morning, what will you do with Jesus, my friend? Now that you know who Jesus is, now that you know what He did for you, the question is, what will you do with Him? What will you do with Him? When Jesus was nailed to the cross, there were two thieves, one on one side, one on the other. They were both crucified with Him. The one on this side rejected. You know what he did? He made fun of Jesus. He's like, if you're really the Son of God, if you're really the Messiah, you come down from that cross and save us too. He mocked him. He didn't believe. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But this other thief over here that was hanging on the other cross, he said, Jesus, He said, "Would you remember me? We're sinners. I'm nothing but a sinner. Lord Jesus, please remember me when you go into your kingdom." You know what that man did? That man opened his heart. And he believed, not only did he believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but he asked Jesus to come in his heart and take away all his sins. Because Jesus, how do we know that? Because Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Which one are you? Which one of these up here are you? Are you the one that rejects and says, no, I don't believe he's the Son of God. I've got my own religion. I've got my own way of thinking. I've got my own... Or are you this one that said, "Lord, you are the Son of God. You are the one that came to pay for my sin penalty. And I accept you as my personal Savior." What will you do with Jesus? Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I did that as a young man. 1 John 5:12 says this, "He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I'm going to give you a quick illustration here. Okay, Brother Aver, would you come for a minute? Help me out here. All right, now I'm going to show you what that verse means. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not life. Now, you either have Jesus or you don't. Do you know that? You either have them or you don't. Okay, brother, let me ask you this. Do you believe that this is a pen? Okay, and it is. And so, your belief is correct. You believe this is a pen. He's correct, by the way. This is a pen. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have this pen? He doesn't have it. Who has it? Tell me, who has it? I have it, right? Now, he believes this is a pen, but he doesn't have it. Okay, but let's say that I wanted to give Brother Ebert this pen. Okay, now he has two choices. You have two choices. You can either accept it and receive it, or you could say, "No, I don't want it." But let's say for the sake of the illustration that I offer this free gift to you and you take it. So he takes it. Now, let me ask you again. Do you believe that's a pen? And you're right, that is a pen. But let me ask you this. Do you have that pen now? You see the difference? Let me say this. There are a lot of people in this world that believe in God. There's a lot of people in this world that believe in Jesus. But listen, they don't have Jesus. You see, there's a difference. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, you get to keep this pen because when Jesus gives you eternal life, he doesn't take it back. Amen. Thank you, brother. You see, you can know you're going to heaven. The Bible says that you can be 100% sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Did you know that if I were to die today, I would go to heaven? You say, "Well, why do you say that? You think you're better than other people? Do you think you're perfect?" No, not at all. The only reason I'm going to heaven is because one day Jesus came into my heart and took away all my sins, took all of them away, washed them away. You see, you can't go to heaven if your sins aren't forgiven and washed away. You know how some people think they can get rid of their sins? Some people think that if they are religious, they can get rid of their sins. Listen, that will not take away your sins. Some people think that if they're a good person and they do good things and help their neighbor and help the poor and do all these good things that you'll get to heaven. That won't take away your sins either. All the good things you do will not take away your sins. There's only one person that can take away your sins, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. That's why he shed his blood on that cross, to wash away all your sins. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. And that's the only reason I'm going to heaven. Because all my sins, past, present, and future, are all washed away by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that good news? So I want to say this morning as we close, quit trying to earn your way to heaven. Quit trying to work your way to heaven. There's another verse that says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you have ever received a gift before? Come on, should be just about everybody. You received the gift. For your birthday, how many have gotten a free gift for your birthday? Somebody gave you a gift, okay? Did you know a gift is free? It's supposed to be. You don't have to pay for a gift. You don't have to work for a gift. Now, you work for a paycheck, but you don't have to work for a gift. A gift is free, right? Just like we just showed you, you can either accept it or reject it. But a gift is free. That's what God wants to give you. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life, of sins forgiven. And you can only have that because there was a person that paid for it. If you ever bought somebody a gift, you paid for it. You went out and bought it, right? And then you gave it to that person free. Did you know that Jesus purchased our salvation? He bought that gift of eternal life for you and me. You know what he paid? You know what he used to pay for it? Not Canadian, not U.S. dollars, none of that. You know what he used to pay for it? His blood. His own blood was used to pay for our sin penalty. So our sins can be all washed away and cleansed. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall. Jesus is friendless. He's forsaken. He's betrayed by all. But I want you to notice that when they led him to that cross and crucified him, put him in that tomb, he rose again from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. The final question, and I'll repeat it, what will you do with Jesus? Has there ever been a time in your life when you opened your heart and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you ever done that? How many of you have ever heard what the Bible says when it says, ye must be born again? How many have heard that phrase, ye must be born again? Did you know that we've all been born once, right? Physically, right? My birthday is December the 19th. I'm not going to tell you the year. December the 19th is my birthday. So write it down, okay? You send me a gift. No, I'm just kidding. December 19th, and I'll tell you when, 1958. December 19, 1958, I was born physically. But did you know that in June of 1969, I was born spiritually? You know what that means? That means I was born again. The moment I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. What about you? You've been born physically. Everybody has a birthday in here. But do you have a spiritual birthday? Have you been born again spiritually? The moment you receive Jesus, the moment you ask in faith, trusting Him and Him alone, not trusting in your religion. Listen, this church can't save you. This church can't take away your sins. This good pastor cannot pray and take away your sins. Only Jesus. And no religion can take away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus. Remember the three questions. The first one is, who is Jesus? I think we know, don't we? And that second question that is also very, very important after we know who is Jesus. And that is the question of this. What did Jesus do for me? And then lastly, what will you do with Jesus?